Welcome back to Serie A Spotlight.
Bro, you're gonna make me laugh.
We are Jake and Matt.
Yeah, when you beat the body for the ball.
Fucking hell! Go look at Inter!
Very lucky.
Hello and welcome back to Serie A Spotlight. We're your host Jake
and Matt,
and today we've got a special guest with us, known as SandMax24.
Proszę. Thank you very much, guys.
No problem. Thank you for coming. This is Max Vassallo. He has amassed 300,000 followers on TikTok for a wide range of content, from console wars where you poked fun of the Xbox community, coining the catchphrase "Hia," to impressive raps. This is where I first got to know about your interest in Milan, as you included Zlatan in one of your raps.
The legend.
Do you know that rap by heart? Is the first question I have for you.
Ibra, followed by a hungry cheetah. Yes, I can do it. I can get it.
It's every, pop,
as you can notice, it's really deep lyrics, guys. Yeah.
That's what we're all about.
Exactly. And I also heard you talking about Zlatan on another podcast. Could it be the Grow Up podcast? You spoke about, you use Zlatan as an example for something.
It's very possible. You know, Zlatan, I like him. He's one of my, if I had to choose a football personality, dead or alive, who I want to meet for a drink and talk with him, it will be fucking Zlatan.
Don't you think it'd be a bit of a pain in the ass and must?
It will be legendary. He'll be showboating from A to Z, and with every showboat, he just laughs at you and cackles at you.
Exactly.
I'm just taking the piss. but I'm being serious at the same time. He's amazing.
In your opinion, is it an act or is there some
a bit of both? A bit of both. He believes he's amazing. I believe at that level of football, you have to believe in yourself. Yeah, actually, you're fucking not gonna get anywhere. Be it anything. Matt is a bit of an actor. I think he's a cool guy. I think he'll be a good guy, and it's all the whole bravado persona. It's fun. If I would be, I think I'd do the same. If I had to be a good footballer, I'd be at that level. I'd stay constantly showing off with everyone, and then who really know me would say, he's a cool guy.
Then
everyone would think you're a fucking dickhead.
Exactly. I think it's a waste, like Messi being as good as he is, but there's zero fucking personality.
No sauce.
No sauce at all.
Zero. Like, Zlatan King goes, stays kicking Cassano.
Going on Sanremo mid-season, leaving the team behind. You know what I mean?
That was meant. You remember, he had gotten a lift on a motorbike with someone.
Of course, with a random fan.
Imagine being the guy on the fucking motorbike, man.
Actually, from Balotelli, it's the same. I mean, you know, as in Collo, as in, I'm sorry, as if I speak in Maltese,
it's fine.
Because you guys, I know you have a foreign. I'm sorry, guys, my roots tend to kick in. It's all an act, because then he does lots of cool stuff, like he goes and he donates shit to school and all this kind of thing. I mean, if you're a narcissistic piece of shit, which is what they essentially tend to portray themselves to be, you don't do this stuff. I mean, Zlatan, he tattooed a bunch of kids' names on his back.
I think that was
some tragedy, a fire or something.
It wasn't permanent, though, but for the celebration, he had them all there.
It's cool. Why the fuck not? You know,
it's a
nice gesture at the end of the day. So if you're a narcissist and you're a cunt, you won't do this stuff.
Exactly.
It's true. Unless you care about public perception and you want to deceive them.
Yeah, it might be.
Maybe they're way ahead. They're playing 4D chess, you know.
But then there's also, think of WWE. What's the best way to get fans? Think of Conor McGregor. Think of all these guys.
Can you imagine? So Zlatan has this role right now, at Milan, where he's basically...
What the fuck's he doing?
He's a director of some sort. Basically, he's involved in calling the shots. But also, if Milan are after a player, he might be called by Zlatan. So can you imagine your phone rings and it's Zlatan?
So he technically took Maldini's role.
To a degree.
But it's not the full-out sporting director.
No. The sporting director is... Don't do this to me, brother.
Put me on the spot. No fucking idea.
No, but Zlatan's got more of a kind of an honorary role kind of thing.
If Pioli was like, how am I going to keep this guy in the team? Considering whenever he's in the team, everyone's fucking highly motivated, you know?
Yeah, I died off that fucking motivation. I don't know. If you having Zlatan in the locker room shouting at you, I would believe is a bigger motivation than him being on the stands and just clapping. Yes. So and right now, speaking about Milan, I don't know who is that
leader.
That's a bit of a crisis that's going on right now, because if you look at the experienced players on the team right now, you've got Giroud, you've got Kier, and then the rest are kind of like, they've got experience with Milan, but they're not in their 30s, you know, they're young, so they're still 25.
They're not fucking legends, they're no legends. No. I mean, we're lucky Zlatan came back, because there was the Dark Ages, as you so mentioned to me, which was... There was literally nothing going on.
Zero.
But then when Zlatan came back, he sort of started picking up, I think. I think he made a massive difference.
I think the season after we won the league.
Absolutely, yes.
The following season.
Because he came in after the 5-0 thrashing against Atalanta. And he changed the mentality pretty much immediately. Yes, man, Zlatan is incredible. And it's crazy that I personally got to see him doing this when I was young in 2011. No, winning Milan the league, it was like we had an alien up front. It was like you could give him the ball anywhere in any way possible and he'll score, like,
insane.
And then now at the age of 28 he came back to Milan and he won them another league, the first league since then. So for me, Zlatan,
just to say you're 29
now. Zlatan can have 28.
Okay. I thought you're just removing the years.
We spoke about Balotelli briefly. I want to ask you about what the hell do you think is going on in his head, this guy, man. He's had this whole fascination with fireworks, man. And recently in Turkey, a video emerged of him in the dressing room with the team throwing a firework in the middle of the changing room. It pops like all his teammates. Like, what the fuck? And they all look at him, they're like, Mario! And he's like,
just like giggling. He had shot that outside his balcony window.
Yes,
he set his house on fire.
Pyromaniac, man. Listen, people like to masturbate daily. He likes to fuck with fire.
Fucking right.
Can we talk like this on your
Yes, absolutely, bro. Absolutely. We love wanking here. It's not a problem at all.
That's why you side with Milan. You get no pleasure out of that. No.
Long term, no. So you need that instant gratification. Like, nothing beats a morning wank as a Milan fan. Like, Inter are taking the second star this season. Juve have fucking 3 stars. Who do you hate more out of Inter and Juve? Oh,
this is really difficult, hostia. It's really, really difficult.
I fucking hate Atalanta as well, by the way.
During
they're up there, like...
When Juve had won 9 in a row, there was no team I hated more.
Amen.
But now it's almost like I hate who's stronger.
Mm-hmm.
I have problems because it's like you're asking me to choose between a bucket of shit and a bucket of shit. So it's a bit of a hassle, just because essentially they both have really shitty fans, I believe. At least I'm in a chat group with Interisti, and I hate my life. and be it they can be losing and they can be getting shit, but the second they have one win, it's all, you know, they're leaders. But I would believe I think Juventus take a bit the lead. I see Juventus as the Man United of Italy.
Exactly.
And Inter, I see them as used to the Liverpool. You know, because everyone fucking hates Man United and Juve, and not many people like Liverpool neither. But Milan are liked by everyone. I mean, it's true. They're overall the general consensus is like, we don't hate you guys.
It's true, especially overseas. Overseas Milan are respected.
It's true,
like,
it's true.
It's the rich European history, I think, about Milan. That's what kind of draws people towards
fans,
them.
We're not cunts.
Exactly. Exactly.
That really helps. So. Now,
the best fans in Italy, huh? The best fans in
Milan.
Italy. Milan, absolutely. You didn't see when we played against Chelsea last season. Chelsea were on a downfall with Graham Potter. They're beating us 3-0. We're in London and all you can hear is the fucking Curva Sud.
Jumping.
The fucking 75th minute, we're losing 3-0 and the Curva Sud are going mental, bro. That's what I love about Milan.
When it comes to fans and whether are the Lazio, fuck the racism and all this rubbish.
They're amazing.
Fuck that's crazy. Actually, my brother went to see the derby. There were like 3 stabbings on the day. So. Lots of heaviness. That's when it comes to fans. Yes, and then they have that stupid racism rubbish.
I'm a big fan of like the Salernitana fandom and the Cagliari fans. You know that thing. Have you like looked into the whole Salernitana fandom? Like the
Sardinia? Or am I totally
They're Salerno. I'm a Salernitana, and then Cagliari are Sardinia. Exactly.
Cagliari Sardinia. Yes,
they're hardcore.
I didn't look. Are they that hardcore?
The Salernitana ones, especially the they got promoted. Bro. They just went out and trashed everything. Like every restaurant in the street, they're just smashing the chairs.
They went insane. Type,
they're crazy, bro. And they have some really good songs as well, man. Yeah. Like if you watch a video of their Curva, you get goosebumps, man. They are top tier. We were going to go watch them this year. We were supposed to watch them 2 weeks ago. But then we cancelled because we're like they're essentially relegated. So Asha, we're gonna go watch them against Lecce, and Lecce beat them 1-0. Thank God we didn't go. And now next week instead we're gonna go watch Cagliari, against Atalanta. Yes. And we're gonna be with the Sardinia. I think we should, bro.
Why not? Yes, behind the goalpost.
Azat.
Yes.
Get shit faced.
Our shirt. We have Cagliari kits, right? Our shirts are gonna last, I think, 5 minutes on, like instantly on. Just fucking rain.
I love the Sampdoria.
Genoa. La Lanterna.
It's beautiful. When Sampdoria got relegated, they like had that whole fucking funeral for them. Heavy shit. A procession, everyone dressed in black. That's proper banter. Man, that was amazing.
This is what attracts me to Italian football.
I agree, you know.
Of course. Italian football feels very authentic when it comes to the top five leagues. I would say that it feels.
Sorry, no problem. You're gonna have to do it. Huh?
Yeah.
Everything is budget in here so far, Max.
It's good.
Really when it comes to the top five leagues, I feel like the Italian league is one of the most authentic. When it comes to these small teams having so much character and the big teams maintaining this fandom, the fact that the fans are so passionate and pure, you know what I mean? Like, there's never a quiet moment in an Italian stadium.
Agreed.
But you know, I work with a gaming company, and we're primarily German, so I get to watch lots of Bundesliga. They're fucking top, bro.
Passionate fan, the Germans.
I think they have the cheapest ticket prices out of the top five leagues in Germany.
They're insane. Bundesliga is insane. But Italy is true. Italy is good. To games, I haven't been enough. I've seen Milan once, and that's pretty much it.
Once against who?
Against Juve.
When
there was the fucking Montari scandal.
Oh my god.
When the ball crossed the line.
I saw the first leg of Milan Juve when we lost 2-1. Ibra scored, and then they had a rubbish goal by Trezeguet, Del Piero. It was fucking
what a game.
No, it was good, and beginning first 20 minutes, I mean, right on the bat, I remember a corner, a header from Ibra that hit the post, and everyone was, Milan is going crazy, like, oh my god, it's fucking amazing.
There's nothing like it, man, being at the San Siro. Huh?
We had gone. So when Matthew was young, he was deeply enamored by Real Madrid. He was a big Real Madrid guy. Like. And we had gone to watch Milan against Real Madrid.
Which one? Not San Siro,
2-2. When Pato, Zlatan, Pato pulled up injured, wasn't it?
Pato pulled up injured
and Inzaghi came on, and everyone around us was groaning because Inzaghi at the time was like 38 years old. And everyone was saying basically like, we're bringing this guy on, we're done. We're not going to manage to do anything.
Against Real Madrid with Cristiano Ronaldo, Benzema, Iker
Casillas and scored. And then he scored again right after. Two goals, man. It
was crazy, man. It was crazy.
And then they scored at the end. Real Madrid.
He wasn't there for a long time, but Pedro Leon. And you remember he had posed for this a photo one, with this, me.
In this game that the guy with the dreads had scored as well.
Not in that game.
I remember. I think Ronaldo had gotten the first goal.
Could be.
And then after that it was...
I remember Ramos. Ramos for some reason, bro. I don't know if it's...
Ramos. We had gone to watch Real once, bro. And we beat... They beat Osasuna 7-1. Remember that Ronaldo scored the hat trick. His mom was just above us in the VIP stand. So
I've never seen anything like it, running
up to our section. It was nuts, man.
The Milan Real game, the best one. Bodo was it the 3-2?
Yes, the Seedorf, the Seedorf goal at the end, man.
I never forget. I am there. I'm watching the game. I'm like, do fucking something. He was just standing up, doing the little shimmy, shimmy, shimmy. Then he lobbed it over to.
Incredible, amazing.
Seedorf is one of the most underrated players to have ever played the game. I think he really doesn't get the respect he deserves.
You
never hear him being mentioned in any conversation when it comes to simply like a complete midfielder. He can do anything. Play anywhere.
In all of the roles, man. And he kept going at such an... He retired at the top, bro. You remember that season? Just before the Banter era, when everyone started dropping out of Milan. So it was, there was Inzaghi, there was Nesta, Thiago Silva and Ibra both went to PSG that season.
Van Bommel.
He was only there for 2 years.
And he was crying his eyes out.
Gattuso.
Zeidorf, Maldini. Everyone dropped out.
Incredible.
The only one that stayed was fucking Kevin Prince-Boateng. I remember.
But don't worry. Milan had the next region. No, Rodney Strasser and what was his name? They had Merkel.
Now Merkel is the president of Germany. He had a sex dream. I believe.
I can't remember how it was. You know who I used to like and I saw pretty on those? They had Cutrone.
He's with Como under Fabregas, doing really well. They might get promoted.
He did well again. Then he moved to Wolves, who had trash. Well,
because he was not part of the deal, but. We had sold him to Wolves and that helped us fund the move for Leao.
You
remember we were saying, oh, we're moving someone from our Primavera to get this unknown guy from Portugal.
Worth it.
Who would you say your favorite player is out of the current Milan squad?
Favorite player? Honestly, I don't know. They all kind of piss me off.
Nowadays, Theo Hernandez. I think
they all have individual moments of greatness. I'm really loving Adli.
Yes, bro.
Fun. But when he drops a stinker, it stinks.
When it's a shit game, it's a fucking shit game.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I'm really liking Gatby. I was really enjoying Krunic. He had a good rise. I think my favorite is Tomori.
That's a very, very good choice. Very solid fucking.
He's the only one I feel safe with. Everyone else is a bit. Yeah, I feel safe with Pulisic's work rate. His work rate is undeniable.
I would say he's the leader of the team, to be honest with
Pulisic,
you.
Pulisic, you think?
I think so.
Mentality wise.
Because he came in shouldering all this responsibility that he's used to shouldering with the United States international team. Right?
He
usually is the main guy for that team.
I can't imagine him shouting with anyone.
Come on, guys!
True, but I'm talking about simply.
Coach is right! Coach is right, guys!
Let's go! Let's do this!
Simply by inspiring his teammates through playing constantly, through work rate, like you're saying. There was a game, I can't quite remember which one it was, but the going really got tough and we needed someone to step up.
Bro, it was the game where Jovic got a red card.
Yes.
And he had
a dickhead right at the end.
He slapped someone. Was it Monza? It was Monza.
And Pulisic inspired the comeback 2-2. And it was all him, man.
We were 10 men and we were going for the win.
You have Leao on the left, who's meant to be the marquee player, who's meant to be the star of the team. And he's hardly seeing the ball, you know. And Pulisic is trying to make everything happen from the right.
His level of consistency is increasing. Until he gets that 5 out of 6 games top. Right now he's at like 2-3 out of 6 best.
What do you think's missing? There.
I think it's just a question of experience, and it's just a question of him rinsing and repeating the stuff over and over again. I think he's a bit lazy. I don't think he is the type who
would die
who
will
go over and above. I think he's a bit of a mercenary.
You know who I compare him with to a degree? I remember watching Vinicius Junior at Real at a very young age. And I remember saying, he's quick, he can dribble, but his output is a disaster. He can't pass, he can't shoot. And lo and behold, after 4 years playing top flight football, his output is ridiculous. So maybe another couple seasons for Leão.
I wouldn't even call it laziness, to be honest with Leão. It's kind of like indifference at times.
Yes, that's perfect word.
Yeah. And he Because I get the whole thing that he walks at a ridiculously slow pace to give his opposition a false sense of security. Because then when he changes gear, he's got an extra gear that other defenders don't have. Like, this burns him. Like that. Like.
Nuts.
But yes, when it comes to certain moments, though, where there's a loose ball that he could chase and try to get, he doesn't.
It's like when he gives up, you say, Allah, I gave up. Fuck it, it's done.
Exactly.
Game is over. It's all finished. But when he shows up, man, he's insane. The last game when he scored from out the box.
Yes, bro, in the Europa League.
Oh my god.
That was insane, like
that incredible
was crazy. And that made us think, me and Jake were saying at least like he's not stupid, like because he keeps trying these shots from outside the box. So we're like, Mav, you're not capable of fucking hitting the target. Why the fuck? You must be stupid if you keep on trying. But then he scored, we're like, okay.
He scored like twice in a row from that same angle recently. I think there's one in the Serie A, I can't remember.
I think so.
It wasn't as far away and as pristine as the one in Europa League, but he got one as well. Up front, there needs to be someone up front. There's fucking nobody. I love Giroud. I love Giroud.
He's off to
MLS,
yeah,
most
MLS.
Likely.
He's
most
likely. Off to the MLS.
Well, he's going to be 39 now. Ooh, I mean, like,
leave on a high.
To me, Giroud is from a personality and from a style of play. He's perfect for Milan. But then sometimes, in order to shake things up and take it to the next level, out with the old and
then
with the
Milan
new.
Want to be a top team.
New. There's no one here.
Joshua Zirkzee of
Bologna.
We're
gonna get Zirkzee.
Where apparently Milan are willing to splash 40 million to make him the biggest signing. Zirkzee's amazing, bro.
Can you imagine how dynamic the front three would be?
It'll
be crazy.
If we get Zirkzee, it'll be amazing. Oh my god, I'm fucking getting excited. Look at that shit. If we get Zirkzee, I think he's like, apart from Guevara, he was the next shine breakout in the Serie A.
This season, so he's the new kid on the block.
That's
this season is Zirkzee. Last year, Guevara. This year there's Pulisic as well, obviously.
The one before was Leão, probably.
He got
the MVP, actually.
Man, when we won the league, that season, my girlfriend had gotten me tickets to go watch Milan-Atalanta, which was the penultimate game of the season and our last home game of the season. And we had to win that game, and then we had to beat Sassuolo away, and we would win the league. And she had gotten me tickets to go watch this Atalanta game, obviously. Jake,
I bought tickets as well.
You're going? You ain't gonna have fun on your own, bro.
With his girlfriend, and we went us four. We're all four of us. We were always hanging out together, so it was easy in that sense. And we went, bro. First half, 0-0. I don't think they've ever seen me so anxious in my life. Just fucking rocking back and forth in the stadium, almost crying. And then, fucking. Teo just gets the ball.
As the moment it went from the end to end.
When Krunic won it.
Bro,
right
in front of us, bro. Right in front of us, he scored that coast-to-coast goal.
Amazing.
I lost my voice shouting pass.
And and I almost ripped his shoulder out because I grabbed you and that goal
you did
happened.
Well.
And I pulled you.
You did well.
He spent the rest of the game like this. He couldn't fucking.
Fucking next time, just rule with us that hitting shit. That was insane.
In Maltese, we say, in manka.
That was amazing, that game. The couple of games.
Have you heard of Albert Gudmundsson of Genoa? He's a silky Icelandic player with a weird court case.
Gudmundsson, no.
He's phenomenal. He's a proper fantasista as well, kind of a creative player, the type that can flick the switch. If you remember maybe Roma Genoa, if you had watched the highlights, there was a player who had absolutely deleted three players at one point. And
yes,
Brosset.
They had got the living shit beaten out of them.
Exactly.
4-0.
It was Albert Gudmundsson's a fantastic player, probably one of the breakouts of this season. And Inter were linked to him last week, and this week we've been linked to him. Apparently, Milan wouldn't mind exploring a little bit of Icelandic talent. talent. And his grandfather used to play with Milan Goodmanson as well. I don't remember him, obviously.
Oh,
The
court case isn't good, huh?
What's happening with the court? Why didn't I didn't hear this?
Alleged, how do we even say? Ladies. Yes. Footballers being inappropriate with ladies.
Always the same, Ostia.
Ostia, it's...
they don't want to fucking learn, man. It's incredible.
Just get consent. You know what I mean? Just get the one fucking consent.
I don't trust you anymore. You see all the other 60, 70 people. But then there is... What's his name?
Robinho.
Yes.
Robinho again, bro.
There was someone else who got fucked recently. Dani Alves.
Yes, Dani Alves. The most successful player in football history, they call him, with the amount of honors
bailed
that he
out
has.
By Memphis Depay, apparently. €1 million he spent to bail him out. He was bailed out a few days ago. Apparently Memphis paid it off.
Okay, so we know who's his accomplice. Yeah. It must be. You must have some shit on Memphis. You must have some shit on Memphis. For sure.
So, let's recollect. I never finished introducing you. He was a drummer, a Bismil Torment metal band.
Yeah, it's rubbish. You don't come here to see me. I see you guys, and I came here because you are the only local podcast with that shit on sports, and I really like it. And I really want to start getting. Which I want to start. I'm never going to manage. I would love to get more involved into sports coaching.
That's a dream.
TV shows, all this type of shit. Man. Like, I dream to have like this soccer AM style of play here. You know, you get. Because I used to play with Marsa, I was a goalkeeper, so I can imagine myself totally in goal. There'll be a keeper, a player of Mars, a player of for clarity's sake, you had a player of United and a player of City, and they're doing challenges.
Like top bins challenges. Sort
of,
yeah,
and Malta
like
will have none of this shit. We're lacking, man. Zero. The sports and arts and comedy, hence why I did the podcast and all this stuff. And Malta is lacking big time, and there's a big gap for it because people are thirsty for this shit.
Absolutely,
I'm really, I'm really proud of you guys. If you, I don't know you from fucking anywhere. So I'm not telling you how to like float your boat.
No,
I'm really happy,
man,
that you guys are like, starting to do something different. Man. Like,
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
For those of you listening overseas, Max has a very successful podcast in Malta. That's quite a breakout podcast, to be honest with you. I think you're... How many episodes have you released? Is it like 9, 10?
No, we just released 15 yesterday. 15. Yes, today, this morning.
And it's incredible. You know, I what I love most about your podcast, to give you some back, is that you've put on display Maltese authenticity at its finest. I feel like when it comes to Maltese people in front of a camera, everyone hides, everyone is stiff, everyone's afraid to stand out. When it comes, you're speaking how people speak in real life.
Exactly. That's all it fucking is, man. It's conversation between friends, between especially male friends, because the co-host is a man, and that was like sort of our main audience. We said, all right, we're gonna like get the male. We're 60-40, 60 male, 40 women, which is huge.
That's incredible.
It's huge.
We're like 90 male.
But that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
You know, football, I mean.
Yeah.
They have to learn how to play it first. I'm joking! I'm joking.
This is the match we brought
on. Yeah, this is the reason. This is what happens. But no, as in yes, it's just talk, a good conversation between friends out in the public, and people are impressed. Why is this shit happening? What do you mean, why? Man, this fucking shit happens daily. That's what we talk about. We talk about stupid stuff, we talk about sex, talk about drugs, talk about sports, having fun, weird shit, weird stories. But I'm sharing it with the public. Who wants to listen can listen.
Exactly.
Who doesn't want can.
That's the.
Well, I can fuck off.
And I mean, after 15 episodes, I think. Are you the biggest podcast in Malta at the moment? I would say so.
I would dare say we are the biggest.
I think you are. Genuinely, shout out to like the John Malias and so on and so forth, who raise a lot of awareness and do great work through their podcasts. But when it comes to just authentic fucking comedy, which is something we lack in Malta, they're doing more. Like, shout out Daniel Schwierep, so on and so forth, who are doing a lot for comedy in Malta. But obviously, your reach is fantastic.
Right. And I mean, John has a bigger audience than we do. He's got a bigger fan base, which is totally understandable, and I'm really happy for him. I'm happy for everyone. I wish that everyone just fucking explodes. This whole
rivalry.
In Malta, we have a habit, Ostia, of fucking hating.
Yes, bro. Yes.
We hate on others. No, I. there's a huge chance next time we go on the podcast, I will make fun of you guys.
Please do.
Just for the fun of it, you know, because it's what friends would do. It's banter.
Just you wait till the end.
You do well. It's just good fun and games. But yeah, we're lucky that people seem to be liking what we're doing.
And the thing you notice as well is that in your long form content, for example, you hear so many positive comments. And if you go on your YouTube comment section of Bite to Bacon, for example, you go through the comments, it's all love. It's a community. Then you look at the bloody TikTok reels.
I hate
and them. It's a lot of it's a lot of and same with us. Same with us. We put up
a
video. One comment. Ooh, I got a comment. I go to click it. Horrible voice.
Fucking hell, dude. Fucking relax,
yes,
man.
Yes.
Personally, I don't give a fuck. And the reason, it doesn't come from a place of ego, like I'm super confident in what we do, so on and so forth. But we live in a society where, unfortunately, especially Malta, with us being small and judgmental, everyone talking about each other, so on and so forth, a lot of people, because they have a fear of being judged, because they fear that everyone is as judgmental as them. So what happens when people start thriving, when people go for it and people do it? They feel instant gratification from shitting on these people, even if they're speaking to their friends. Oh, you saw those idiots, they started their own podcast. Oh, they want to be like Logan Paul, they want to be like Jake Paul, and this or that.
It's the fucking hate. You know, I remember there's this big personality in current Maltese media. He's a big guy, he's been doing this for a long time, and when he saw our first episodes, the podcast, they did really well. And like the first thing he told me was, like, nice, but you're going to have trouble finding guests and sponsors.
Yeah.
Really? Really, fucking, this is what you have to tell me from everything? You couldn't just fucking say nothing. Did you have to tell me you're going to have trouble? There are haters, man.
And fake smile with the process as well. The more
from what I learned is that since COVID, I've been doing social media constantly. It's become ridiculous how much I have done. The amount of videos I've uploaded is insane. The more hate you get, the better you're doing. So the more hate that's coming, the better I feel.
Absolutely.
So
and they have the
I love it. It's motivation.
Yeah.
So Max, we grew up back to football, idolizing the likes of Gattuso, Maldini, Kaká, Inzaghi. Those were our guys, right? And I remember as well fondly. I have fond memories of Pato and Kevin Prince Boateng. Those were my guys. I'm not quite sure how old you are. First of all,
38.
Okay. So you're 10 years older than me. Who did you grow up admiring? Who was your? Were you a fan of Milan since childhood?
Yeah, I was always a fan of Milan. Since childhood, yes, they were my first thing. The thing is, in Malta, you guys have the luxury of fucking watching games when you were a kid. I had a dad who did not give a shit about sports, so we did not have satellite or stuff. So we could not see football games at the time. What we had was
Porno magazines.
Not even porno magazines. I had to for me to fucking jack off, I used to have to use the catalogs for clothes. You know, and my mom.
That's what they have to do.
And I had to flip to the lingerie section. Yeah. Look at this one, she's got a see-through bra. This is amazing.
I had a magazine. You know, what was it called? Scuts, the metal.
The metal, Scuts.
Heavy metal Scuts.
They had some fine ladies.
That was where I used to get mine.
You know, I used to have that. And then every now and then, I used to open Peter and Jane. No, I'm joking. I didn't used to see football. I couldn't see football. But there used to be a show. I don't know if you remember this. Probably too young. Processo di Biscardi. You remember it?
I had no idea.
It used to be fucking amazing. It used to be like, essentially, it used to be, there used to be two shows, Processo di Biscardi. And there was another one. I forgot what it was called. There was My Dear Egol, which was amazing as well. And there were three shows in Italian, which was basically like what the English Premier League has.
With Alan Shearer, so on and so forth.
No, they have one with Gary Lineker.
Okay.
That's
amazing.
They used to have that, but for Serie A, because no one had the rights to see that shit. So they used to get a replay of every single game. And there is like I have a panel with like proper footballers, and I comment about what's happening and this, this, and that. And then there was Professor Di Biscardi, where Professor Di Biscardi used to be this guy who used to give his opinion on the games, and he used to be really outspoken and like really harsh on the players. And there was my dear goal, which is like football, but a bit on a comedy side. So
very good.
There was a real lot of this football. So that's what I used to watch. So I used to like keep up with what's going on, because it's just like Milan. That's pretty much it. I didn't give a shit or know the players of other teams. Yeah.
I mean, when you're young, you know, that's how I was. I was like great.
I never forget the season when Roma, St. Totti there, they had won it in the 90s. I forgot where it was, with Cassano.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was insane. I remember that season. I was at my grandma in Rabat ages ago. I was a kid. I'm watching this fucking program. It lost.
Amazing. Where were you when the 2006 World Cup final was happening? I remember clearly. You remember where we were?
Yes, Riviera.
Riviera. On the beach.
2006 Italy, so what?
Yeah.
You know, I don't give a shit about Italy.
You know, international break for me is I'm going to watch Malta.
Yeah, absolutely. I find it a bit
weird how let's say in Malta we have this crazy fanaticism on the Italian and England squad, especially. Yeah. I really can't get the grips as to why we're so hell-bent on the national team of Italy and England. What the fuck's going on, man? I understand club football, because that's mercenary stuff. But I do not understand country, to be honest, at all. Zero.
Once I had a teacher who said that Maltese people celebrating when like Italy or England score or win, it's like a bird being really happy that another bird has beautiful feathers.
It's fucked up. It doesn't make sense. I can't understand it.
No, I think like when Malta are playing always, Malta, I'm not gonna lie, the World Cup and the Euros come about, I put on my Italy kit and I go fucking mental. Why?
Oh, listen, fuck the English, eh?
Let's put it
out there.
First and foremost, fuck the English national team.
We have many listeners in England.
It's going over my fucking ass.
All of you. All of you. And we're going to explain why soon. Because in Malta, the English fans are bloody terrible. How can I go see Man United against AC Milan when Kaká scored that wonderful goal? How can I go see that game and you have people shouting, Kino, he retired 3 years ago? What the fuck's happening? God, can you tell me what am I doing here? And they can't hear you. We're in a bar sitting down. Why are you shouting Kino?
Weird, man.
I don't understand. Uh-huh.
Well, Kaká's making the defenders kiss.
Heinze and Evra.
Their right back and their left back met in the middle. They're like, let's meet halfway and kiss.
Well,
Kaká fucking fucks us entirely. And there was, people forget, there was Seedorf's goal that was amazing. And you remember Gilardino came on with a fresh haircut. Yeah. He had just shaved his head, bro. He came on and he scored that goal. And in the first leg, they had beaten us 3-2. And the ego on them, you remember when Rooney scored at the end of Brocky was keeping him onside, bro.
Yeah.
And then the second leg, fucking 3-0. Destroyed, man. Destroyed. Beautiful. One of my favorite games ever. One of my favorite moments in Milan history was the beginning of the banter era. Like, you could see that Milan started slowing down. I remember in the Champions League, every season, round of 16, who are we playing? Barcelona. Fucking give me a break.
Ridiculous.
Give me a break. Always Barcelona. But 26 seconds in, Pato gets the ball, knocks it forward, and just one of my favorite goals in history.
He made it look like, why doesn't this happen more often?
Five aside. It was a five aside.
That was the season when he got jacked up from 1 year to the next.
I think he had built Shabbat.
There was one season when he just fucking
That's when he started going out with Berlusconi's daughter.
Exactly. That was the goal when Boateng did the heel.
Yeah. I think that was in the... I don't know, on his brother. I think the return leg was...
On his brother. I never made that connection.
That goal was insane. Where he did like the Rabona to dribble the defender. And then he shot near post. Valdez went the wrong way.
He just belted it. It came good. But the heel flick to skip past Boateng was insane.
I loved Boateng, man.
Where do you stand on this whole hashtag Pioli out?
Hostia Madonna. I want to change,
Mm.
You know, I think it's the end of a cycle.
I want to change. He's won me a bit recently because, to be totally fair and to give him all his props, there was a time where every substitution he was making didn't make a fucking difference.
Bravo. Mm-hmm.
Recently...
because now he has the players, no? Like last year when we were playing Inter in the Champions League fucking semi-finals, I'm like, why the fuck isn't this guy making a substitution? We're two goals down, make a substitution.
I don't understand this.
Madonna. But his argument was always, I don't have the squad depth to do it. Now, he has Jovic, he has Okafor, he has Chukwueze.
This season, he struggled as well. And when it came to, I mean, first of all, during having a full squad. So? Because, yes, during the injury crisis. But his decisions, his management and...
His strength, subs
during the game.
The Napoli game, to me... Well, I remember watching that game. I was in Australia, bro. I was in Australia for a month and I was tuning into that game. And that I needed some serotonin. I'm like, let me watch Milan-Napoli. First half, we're killing them. 2-0. And then we come 2-2. And Giroud speaks at the end of the game. He's like, look, I'm going to be honest. We were 2 goals up. And I personally didn't know whether we should be attacking or defending.
Yeah.
It's like, that is clearly, if you have...
Ostia.
If you have Simone Inzaghi, if you have Conte, if you have Allegri...
You know.
Believe me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know what to do. And unfortunately, sometimes I think either he's a bit too friendly with the players. Maybe he doesn't assert enough dominance. Maybe they don't respect him too much.
I don't know.
But these decisions don't seem to come across to the team. They don't seem to be communicated.
I look at the potential replacements that are being mentioned. You look at Conte, De Zerbi, and Motta. With all due respect, they're all fantastic managers, but only one of them is a direct upgrade.
Conte.
When it comes to Conte, it's an upgrade for sure in every department, but the others are promising De Zerbi and Motta, but you can't say you're upgrading when you get De Zerbi or Motta to replace Pioli, because Pioli is more decorated and he's proven himself at this level. Because this season he has amassed the same amount of points that he got during the Scudetto winning season, the exact same season.
Yes, Inter this year is I fucking hate to say it, but
they're incredible. One loss in the league, that's why
the football is insane that they're playing. And I recently saw a tactical video on what Inzaghi is doing. It's incredible. Oh, he will have the two fucking center mids at the back, and then I don't know what he does. It's the football he's playing.
It's genius. You see the way they move the ball and how quick they are and how fluid they are. And it's like clockwork,
and
man.
Good,
they move.
Man.
It's like sometimes Milan are kind of like figuring it out when they're attacking.
Yes,
like, okay,
yes,
now
they
play Leao. There's a chance. But it seems like Inter can score a goal with all their eyes closed, like,
and they have
11 players with their eyes closed.
They have patterns of play. I feel like with Milan, it's always individual brilliance that gives Milan the goal.
Mm,
always.
Exactly.
It's never an intricate passage of play like with Inter. It's never like, okay, pass to the midfielder stuck in, the left centre back advances, crosses to the right fucking centre back, who scores the goal. Like, that's incredible, man, with what Inter are doing.
There's none of that stuff. Inter have the wings are crazy. Yeah. They're individually. And Madonna, what's his name?
DeMarco's
a beast, but even the other one,
Dumfries.
There was even Darmian.
Carlos Augusto as well is a fucking animal, man.
Darmian, but he ejected United this year. Everyone's
a beast.
They let go of Brozovic, who was their star player.
No
fucking difference at all. Fratesi is doing it. Everyone. No, it's
true.
The weakest player is Thuram.
And he's scoring in all the big games.
Every
single big game. I think they played against all, obviously, the season they played against all the top 7 teams, and I think he scored against every single one.
Acerbi, Allah, with us, nothing. Disaster.
Acerbi with us was an alcoholic.
He was very distracted, he says, he claims. And then he had a reality check because he was diagnosed with testicular cancer.
Okay.
He recovered, he moved to Sassuolo, reinvented himself as a player. Moved to Lazio. Played an incredible season, bar the game that gave us the league title. And then was snapped up by Inter.
I think he had 2 bouts with testicular cancer.
Could be.
You saw what he did recently, where he racially abused Juan Jesus of Napoli.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What did he do?
He called him the N-word.
And apparently there isn't enough evidence, so he's not banned.
In English, I assume, or in Italian.
Bear in mind, he's coming from the Lazio background, so at the end of the day, it's muscle memory. Yeah. Like, oh my god, look, a black person.
I don't know where I was. I was in Colombia. I was in Colombia.
Nice, man.
I went on work, really, and there was this. And they have like a wall of our office where they have all the employees. And there was at this bottom, there was this like one of the employees. I didn't see him face to face, but it was this big jacked guy. Yeah. And we're talking to the Colombians about the war, and he was black. We're talking to one about the war, and I told him, and I was telling him, there's a guy down at the bottom, the jacked, like the really big guy, and he told me, how does he look? I mean, the guy, he has dreads. Anything different? What is he? And he was like literally trying to make me fish. He was trying to make me fish. The black guy.
He's tall.
Exactly. I felt kind of strange. But then he told me the N-word. The N-word.
Oh my god.
Like, it's cool with you. I don't have a racist bone on my body. But no, here it is.
You say it's a term of endearment.
Uh-huh. When they're playing football in South America, they actually say it because it's what you're seeing. Man, it's
I'm not gonna lie, I had a heart attack there.
Yeah,
I
thought you were gonna go with it.
You're like,
fuck! Thank you for clipping it for us.
But however, I kind of doubt that Acerbi meant it.
I don't know, huh? Fucking Juan Jesus seemed pretty adamant about how the story
I think it was.
I find it hard to like say.
And apparently there was a whole thing that once Jesus said that Acerbi apologized to him on the pitch, but then afterwards Acerbi denied even saying it, so Juan Jesus came up calling him a hypocrite, saying, why did you apologize if you're saying now that you never
so
met
him?
There was a whole thing about it.
Spalletti kicked him out of the national team.
Mancini replaced him with the national team.
And he gave away a penalty, I think, in the opening.
No, that was Buongiorno.
That was Buongiorno.
Yes, yes. Conte, De Zerbi or Motta?
Conte.
Yeah.
He's been solid everywhere he's gone. I would take Ostia. Motta is doing really great football.
I'd personally take Motta.
Motta's doing really nice football, and he's kind of inventing the whole no position thing as well.
The 2-7-2.
It's insane what he's doing, Ostia. And Conte is trying to test it, and Conte has the heart.
Conte will get you a title, like.
I think Milan lack the heart. I think the whole unity in the team, which was there when there was Zlatan, has gone. I don't think people played for Pioli. I think people played for Zlatan, personally. I don't know fucking why. And I think Conte, he will suffer a year or two, but then he will get good people in, good players who will play for him. Every team he was with fucking loved the dude. He is a sort of Mourinho.
To a degree.
The people love the club, the players always fucking love Mourinho.
It's always like a family.
And he's out there with the team, man. When the team's playing, he's there on the touchline giving the referee shit. You know,
exactly.
He's out with them, suffering with them.
I like Conte. I'd love to have him on my team on with Milan. It would be interesting.
It would, because he's always been the enemy.
Yes,
that's the thing. I've never
It would be weird
because he was always either at Juve winning. I think he won 2 Scudetti with Juve before, and then Allegri came in and won like 7 in a row. And then he went to Inter and he instantly won a Scudetto. So I'm like, I fucking hate this guy, Madonna. And to see him on the touchline for Milan, man, I don't know how I fucking feel about it.
It's weird.
Even like Motta, with all due respect, but I would love him at Milan.
He won
the treble at Inter, man.
He was the guy that got
a red card against Barca.
Pioli, Juventino. I mean, if we keep going like this, everyone has their past.
You get nobody.
Pioli played for Juve.
Yes. He wasn't good, though.
No. It was alright.
Let's face it. Over there.
The best managers are never insane players.
Ancelotti was amazing.
Ancelotti was amazing. Xabi Alonso, we watched him live in that Real 7 Osasuna 1. And I have never in my life, at least in a football pitch, seen someone that moves the ball like him, man. Honestly, he's like... It's him, Pirlo, and Xavi to me.
Pirlo, that's when I went to see with Juve. he was doing nothing.
At what stage in his career?
Well, the season before he smoker. Left, I think. I think the season before, or one or two before he left. He was chilling, talking to Del Piero, like this. Hey, and everyone is hassling in front of you. I'm like, hey, I'll do something, dude. What's going on? Pirlo, with us at the end, he got lazy. And then he went with you, then he reinvented his fucking self.
That's because I think there are players, like think of Van Bommel, when he was at Bayern Munich, he was a number 10, he was an attacking midfielder. As he started to age, he started becoming more pragmatic and more defensive. So Pirlo, it seems like Milan didn't quite adapt to his role, pushing him into a number 6, into a register role. And then Juve threw him straight there, and he was reinvented, bro. He had fucking...
Milan was stopping midfielder in front of the defense.
But he was a bit more offensive, yeah, with Milan, I find. Like, Gattuso was the fucking stopper, the anchor.
True.
So Pirlo had a bit more liberty to go forward because he had that last line.
I feel like we'd sit in front of the defense and just orchestrate. That's what
but
it was.
But he's right. With us, they always played diamond, Ostia.
The Christmas tree.
They were never the two at the back in front of the defense. So there was always just Gattuso breaking shit, because even Seedorf was Seedorf and Pirlo sort of had the same
dynamics. Like Seedorf a bit more athletic, more like box to box.
It was never given the sort of a passage of play is in your hands with me. He had the chance, but he had competition from Seedorf. Competition from Kaká up front, so there was it too.
What a team!
The best too, insane. Those champions with alla Stam Maldini.
How can you lose?
Incredible.
Maldini had to play left back.
Mela, let's think about that.
How can you lose? You remember the PSV game?
The PSV game
when we were winning 3-0 home.
You mentioned it recently.
The Deportivo.
4-0.
And then we lost 4-0 away. Insane, 4-0 home. 1-3-0 away, and we lost 4-0.
That's crazy.
That's the nature of European competition. You can never say this fixture is over, man. Because one goal in a scary environment, especially, Max, if you had to... So right now, Milan are doing this whole money ball thing, right? Where, for example... we saw Tonali being sacrificed and then three replacements being brought in to fortify the team, essentially. If the same thing had to be done in the next transfer window, who would you sacrifice between Leao, Manian and Theo Hernandez, assuming we'd get between the 70 to 100 million euro?
Leao, Manian, Theo Hernandez. I would kind of say... I would go with what you guys said earlier as well. I think from the three, I choose Manian. Just in the being that there are plenty of other good keepers out there, and our left flank is one of the most beautiful things to see in a long time. So I wouldn't want to destroy that dynamic.
Problem.
I don't think they'll do very well without each other, to be honest, both of them. And I think they kind of know it, Ostia. They have a good link-up play. They played very well. That goal that they scored... The one where
the Leao through ball from the flank
to Theo. He was a bit lucky. He fucking struggled till the end. He fought for every ball. He was about to go out and he got it. Then it hit the defender and he got it as well.
We see that every five games. We see them.
But they do fucking job. So fuck Manian at the end of the day, and he can go. I like him, Taz, and when there was Tata Rusano, it was bad.
The stat was Milan are conceding with every shot they concede. And then 2 days later, I remember breaking news, Tata Rusano, the 39-year-old, has an astigmatism.
He's undergone surgery at 39.
I'm like, mashallah, fucking finally.
Fucking one. He was 9 out of 11 shots were goals. Stop.
Crazy, man. That season. Last season.
Imagine. You're a teacher at a school. And you go for an outing with kids. You go inside the outing and you come back with two kids. and 9 of them
just disappeared.
Someone is scoring with them somewhere, and you don't know what. And that's it's bad too.
It's not a good ratio.
Nine out of 11. It's horrible. Do your fucking job. You had one job to keep these kids safe.
Man.
And 9 of them went missing, literally, dude. Not literally. Good, dude.
At least now the second option is Sport Yellow. Who's and Manyan, I'm sorry, but for a goalkeeper to be injured 2 months every season is a bit ridiculous.
It's true.
You know about the theory that there were chats on WhatsApp that were leaked that Manyan, his injuries are cover-ups because he has a coke addiction.
These are rumors that he
has the personality of someone that would love cocaine.
Why would you cover up coke addiction with injuries?
Because I guess the doping period, because they test you after certain games. It's like if you know, yeah, that bender.
This is all hearsay. The same thing was said about El Sharawi back in the day, if you remember. They used to say that El Sharawi would disappear.
He looks like a guy. Yeah, with his hair wack, he looks like he'll own a BMW. He'll go to the clubs. He looks the type.
It's true.
Very true, El Sharawi. He was a pity he left.
It was a pity. And he went to China. And I thought he was done, and now he's come back and he's doing all right.
Very good.
Left wing back, left wing, left striker. He's playing anywhere on the left side for Roma, man.
That's true.
Captain Clutch.
Where do you stand on Calabria?
Hey, he's finished, though.
You think he's finished?
He's not even anywhere. He's 27, 28. 27,
28.
He gets beat often, guys.
He gets beat often
by plenty of people. He was way stronger a good 3-4 years ago when he won the season. I see his batteries have died out. And I don't think he is captain material to the extent of people being afraid of him. I saw a video recently of Maldini and Gattuso. There's Gattuso, he did an insane tackle on someone, and there's Ancelotti just shouting at him. And he's shouting back at Ancelotti, telling him, shut the fuck up. You're not playing. Smettila, shouting. And then Maldini went, grabbed him by the fucking t-shirt, and told him, listen, don't you fuck this up for us. This is really important. And they pushed him away, and then he calmed down.
Imagine that.
Calabria can't do that to anyone.
No.
Calabria, he's the captain because of seniority.
Like, Tonali, for example, if Milan kept him and were to make him captain, you see moments in him where he's fighting with Dumfries, fighting for the team.
Agreed.
You're like, he's captain material. I think the only player Milan have at the moment that is captain material is Theo Hernandez, in my opinion. Because at least he has the balls.
Yeah, but that's all he has, though.
Theo's great, man. Theo's a...
You don't rate Theo?
I have a controversial
opinion, yeah.
He's amazing. Athleticism is full on. In my kind of... Don't get me wrong, I love the guy. He's a fucking lifesaver. He's there, but I do not know why... He's way too erratic to be a captain, in my opinion. He can't keep his cool, he can't keep his nerve. He fights for the team, but I have a slight feeling he's fighting more for himself than for the team. And I'm a bit old school. I was raised with the Maldinis, with the Nestas, with these fucking Baresis. I was raised with these people who will die for the team. I think he dies for himself, Ostia. I don't know.
I used to think of it very much like you, like in his first 2 years, where you see a cocky, confident left wing back that likes to attack too much, you know, and he's a good looking guy, you know, marketable. And I'm like, I don't trust this guy, kind of thing. He was a bit sloppy defensively in the beginning.
He still is.
Yeah, but he's much better, huh? I wouldn't say
he's much better.
He's sloppy.
Yeah, like he played centre back, and he was amazing.
That's true. He did a couple of
holes behind him when he advances, and sometimes he doesn't release the ball and he loses it stupidly and leaves us vulnerable for the counter, totally. But I wouldn't say. I'd say if he's in line with his man, he will most likely win the 50-50. From what I've seen.
Yes, no, ZML, that's a workhorse. Full on till the 90th minute. He's running like a fucking Zed.
Exactly.
That's very true. I do not know why. I kind of don't see him intelligent enough. I might be fucking totally out there.
You're not the first person.
I might be totally wrong.
About their own.
I don't see him intelligent enough to lead a team, especially through emotions, seeing as how emotionally he gets to be a bit all over the place more often than not. That being said, there is no fucking other captain, it's true.
I think that the reason I like him as captain as well is because he is definitely by far the most street smart. He might not be that into, like, to pick out a pass or something like that, like you're saying. Maybe there's some maturity that he could be going through. But when it comes to street smarts of how to get your opponent sent off, how to give him a yellow card.
Sneaky
motherfucker, man.
There was that game in the Europa League recently when Milan had a 3-0 advantage at San Siro, and then we went to France against
Rennes.
I turned on my TV and I look and the fans are all jumping, the vibes are immaculate. I'm like, these guys are gonna fucking come out for us. They came out in the first 10 minutes, they score, and I'm like, this is gonna be bad. Like, and that's when Theo started getting the ball, holding onto it, winning fouls, slowing down the tempo.
He orchestrated it, he fixed it, giving
Milan time to calm down and to recollect themselves. And I think at that time he was really needed, like to kind of like refresh, like let's start again.
And he's been there a while, 5-6 years. He knows the team. He's probably the most experienced one apart from Calabria within the team, man.
No, there's no one else. Maybe Bennacer, but once again, he's another one who is coming in and out. He kind of lost his place.
Injuries, Ramadan.
Yes, agreed. Ramadan didn't help.
Ramadan, they say, you know, have you ever heard of Ramadan Karim? Ramadan Benzema apparently is the best version of Benzema statistically we have ever seen.
Oh, right.
Apparently he says, and he's not the first one, these Muslim players, they say that when they're fasting, they're more energetic. They're more eager to play.
The power of Allah.
They've got the power of Allah, literally.
I guess whether it's a placebo belief or an actual fucking thing.
Ramadan for everyone.
Ramadan, number one.
I should try. Cheers. That'll be good.
Cheers to Ramadan.
So, Max, being a Milan fan in your early 50s means that you've been through Milan's infamous banter era, right? This is between 2012 and 2020, where Silvio Berlusconi, of course, didn't want to let go of the club, and he was clearly struggling to support it financially. When he eventually did sell the club, he sold it to these mysterious Chinese figures in Han Li and Yong Hong Li, if you remember, who immediately spent 200 million euros on hot garbage.
Andrea Silva, Luis Adriano. Yes,
leading the club to eventually get a European ban and losing ownership of the club with a small installment that they couldn't pay back in time. Eventually, the club fell into the hands of the hedge fund Elliott, right? Milan won just one trophy during this stretch, the Supercoppa Italiana under Vincenzo Montella, if you remember it, Pasalic that scored the winning penalty, and finished as lowly as 10th under Pippo Inzaghi. Now, my first question for you is, who was your least favourite coach during the banter era?
Least favourite? Well, see, I had lots of heart for all these coaches, because they were all players, Gattuso, Seedorf,
Inzaghi. There was Brocchi at a point as
Brocchi at a point.
I didn't like Brocchi. Never liked him as a player.
Brocchi, what a wicked kid.
Was he good? I think I was too young to understand his industry.
I remember Brocchi, Pancaro, amazing. That time it was beautiful. I still love Brocchi. I just like him. It was like a wish Gattuso.
I guess you know what I mean,
Brocchi. He was good. Worst manager. Seedorf was rubbish.
Seedorf wasn't great.
Seedorf was
trash. At the moment of Balotelli.
You can't deny that El Presidente is the coolest guy that ever played in a Milan.
Difficult personality, apparently, as Seedorf.
Yes, because he's Unfortunately, he has that Zlatan aura about him, where he believes he's better than the rest. And you watch him, he speaks at Harvard nowadays, like the guy's
Seedorf.
Yes, he's a genius, man, Seedorf. I rate him as a guy, like...
Yeah, yeah. Apparently he has a massive cock as well.
I mean...
Most likely.
I mean, did you... You've seen him...
Kaká said the interview. So the interview on Kaká. Kaká was... Kaká always...
Yes. Did Kaká say Seedorf has a massive dick?
No, Kaká was on a show in Italy, an Italian TV show, and they asked him who has the biggest like cock from everyone.
Classic
and,
Italy.
And he just literally without batting an eye, ah, Seedorf. Like straight away, no problem whatsoever. Like, easily.
My least favorite, by the way, is Gianpaolo.
To me, seven games.
Gattuso was, just like we always say, steps to success. And Gattuso had gotten us the closest we had ever been.
1 point
to getting us Champions League. The Napoli Verona thing that fucked us, I remember.
We were there, bro.
And he knew the team. I was dying for us to have one more season with him.
I agreed.
Like, Gianpaolo came in, okay, he did. We can't deny what he did at Sampdoria. He was fucking amazing. With the 4-3-1-2, I remember. But to come in and to just ignore the players that you have and to just implement your system. You put Suso.
He was brought in for
you put Suso, who only has a left foot. You put him in attacking midfield. He was totally wasted as a footballer. Yeah. But he just came in and blindly went for his system. You can't, like, yes, sure, he came in to do that, but you can't fucking blindly ignore
what's he
the
doing
players
now?
That you have.
Gianpaolo, I have no clue. I don't think he's coaching in Auerbe in Italy. So I have no idea.
Actually, Sampi was top, as you said.
Amazing.
He did fucking magic, Sostia.
He is who purely replaced him.
I am curious. Had we got Ragnik, Sostia? What would have happened?
Ragnik. Is would have very, never brought he was very unfairly, I feel like, treated by United. I feel like the United players are a bunch of players with very big egos. They're a fan base that is very loud. They don't maybe understand some sports science, so on and so forth. Ronaldo didn't do him any favors. He spoke on that Piers Morgan interview where he shat on Ragnik. It's like Ragnik isn't even a coach. Look what he did. That was he with RB Leipzig, Menalia.
Yes,
he did fucking God's work at them, bro. He made them a European
as well,
force.
Being the sporting director and the
he was great. I would have liked to see Ragnik at Milan at a point.
It's been interesting, hostia. And you need that little bit of. I agree in this whole militant kind of. Leadership a la Ferguson, you know, this type of constant, listen, you don't fuck with me, I'm the manager here.
Exactly.
That's how Ancelotti was. Alavoglia, they used to, I think,
smoking his cigarettes on the touchline.
It's very egg, very, and nowadays, I think that's what Pioli doesn't have. The authority, I don't think Pioli has it.
Fair enough. I mean, that's probably one of the hardest criticism pieces that you can give to Pioli, because there have been moments where players talk back to him where he subs out the player and, you know, they're sulking and all that. There's clearly and the fact that the success came when Zlatan came as well. Maybe as you mentioned, they were playing for Zlatan.
The authority
the coach,
is elsewhere. Sure. The authority isn't coming from the coach.
Yes, and let's not forget as well that Milan were only in the Champions League last season because Juve. We're docked points
plus Valenza.
Last season. We wouldn't even be talking about Pioli. He wouldn't even be here if he hadn't qualified for. If Juve hadn't been docked their points,
if fucking Agnelli wasn't scum, Pioli wouldn't be here anymore.
Agreed. Very true.
Speaking of the banter era, though, I'm going to give you some names, okay, from the banter era, and I want you to share your fondest memories of these players. Okay?
If I have any of them.
let's start with the man, the myth, the legend, Andrea Pioli.
Full of energy, full of sprite as well.
That video is
just stumbled.
Pauly, he had that. He had that fucking grinta at least in midfield, like
the
Milan
desire.
And Brett, he had the desire.
He did, and he won. You could tell he's trying, hostia, but
maybe a bit too hard
for
at times,
no,
man.
With no end. I can't remember any. I don't remember anything between, except probably the, like, some insane Balotelli shit that used to happen. I can't remember some massive moments in the banter area. So I'm pretty sure you're gonna ask me stuff, and I'm going to be like, "What the fuck happened?"
I think these are all pretty memorable. I think you'll get them. The next one, for example, is Jeremy Menez.
Oh, but he was a legend, though, man.
But a legend in the darkest times.
Ah, yes, that's a pity. He was top shit to Menez. Menez was amazing. He was a waste.
It was hottest, yeah.
That goal, I can't remember exactly against who Parma, it was. Parma. Yeah. When he ran around the fucking post, what did he do?
He knocked the ball around the keeper and backheeled it into the back of
the keeper.
Like he bounced it off the ground and it went over the keeper.
Yeah, but he had to run somewhere. He had to run past the whole post.
It was a long ball.
Exactly.
He got it before the keeper, knocked it past him, ran beyond the post, and the keeper was going in, scrambling onto the ground, and he backheeled
it onto the fucking ground and made it jump. That was amazing. Yeah.
For me, Menez even just joining Milan. He was at PSG before PSG even had that. I think it was at the beginning of their financial game. But he decided to join Milan during the darkest hours. To me, Menez is a god for that reason, for deciding to join
legend,
Milan.
Though, legend.
Never pass the ball.
Who are you going to pass it to, bro? Who the hell are you going to pass it to?
Very true.
Fair enough. The next one, Mario Balotelli.
Wow, wicked. Oh, I loved him. It's a really pity. I'm really disappointed that he didn't put his shit together with us. He's a Milanista as well, no Moratelli.
He had worn the Milan kit when he was with Inter.
Yeah, that's amazing shit too. And he scored some ridiculous goals. Well, there was that volley from the outside.
The one from significant Bologna. Distance. Bologna.
Incredible. Ridiculous.
No celebration.
I used to love him. I wish he stayed. Now he's in Antalya. Where is he? Turkey.
Turkey.
Antalya Sport.
Something like that.
One of those.
He was doing really well.
In Nice, he was in France. In France,
but even in Turkey, he was doing really well. He had a goal for Puskas.
Uh-huh. Man, I mean, he had 19 step overs or whatever it was, and then you're born to the back of the net.
He
doesn't give a fuck.
He's amazing. Balotelli, I used to love him. If only he could keep his fucking attitude in check, man, he would have been an amazing player.
My least favorite moment for sure about Balotelli was when he missed his first penalty ever. It was with Milan against Udinese. I got someone over, you were filming, I remember saying, he never misses. And this guy was going, he's going to miss. And lo and behold,
Allah missed the pixels in that video. It's like our last YouTube upload.
Balotelli, fucking legend though.
Gabriel Paletta.
Paletta with the fucking come over.
And why did he have a come over? Because he only had hair on this side of his head. So I was like, bring it over.
Paletta, yeah. Ow. He wasn't that horrible.
He was an animal. He was an animal.
Considering the rubbish Milan had at the time, for me to finish a game and say, wow, Paletta did really well. He was the man of the match.
Uh-huh. The moment that stands out.
Figure out the state Milan were in last year. What moment?
The 3-0 loss to Genoa, all spearheaded by Paletta's impulsive decision to kung fu kick a player on the ball, completely missed the ball, nowhere near the ball. It's the man, immediate red card.
Literally.
And then Milan are a man down against Genoa, and they lose 3-0.
It was like, you know, the Boris Johnson tackle, you ever saw the Boris
Johnson? Yes!
It's literally like that, but with his studs, man. It's
Paletta, talking about double-footed tackles, Flamini was a god at that shit.
Flamini is incredibly rich nowadays.
He has an organic renewable energy company or something of the sort. Billions.
And he had great industry, both at Arsenal and both at Milan. Yeah. He was a hard worker.
And then my builders.
Working Flamini, yo.
Yeah, Mathieu Flamini.
Where was he? Left back? No, or
center mid. Center mid.
Adel Tarapt.
Tarapt, whoa. Phil, too.
The most Brazilian, non-Brazilian player I've ever seen.
He's Algerian. What is he?
Algerian, I believe.
Moroccan, Algerian.
They're separated by a desert, those two.
Yeah.
But you watch clips of him and you could see people's reactions. You could see his teammates' reactions to how he dribbles past a player.
He does things.
His legs are like elastic the way that he moves them. Knocks the ball there. Pulls it back.
He was
step over. Then puts it through your legs. And you see his teammates are just like, what the fuck was that?
I remember seeing him with QPR and saying, wow, he's going to be fucking magical, this guy. But I think he had little team I think it was more of a showboat than anything else. Was, yeah.
Like a freestyler kind
but
of.
She was fucking amazing. Ooh,
he said
top.
That after Milan, the fact that Milan didn't renew him was pretty much the end of his career for him. Because he took it really badly. Because he felt like he was in the form of his life playing at the highest level. Beforehand, he had done it in the championship, granted, but he had never done it at such a high level, you know, scoring solo goals against Napoli, for example, and all this. And apparently, he took it really badly, and his career was never the same after.
We fucked him up, basically.
It was strange how
it was weird how we didn't redeem
him. I remember,
during the Banter era, there was him, and at a point, it was Gerard Deulofeu. I couldn't believe we didn't fucking renew him. I couldn't believe it. We hadn't had a good.
But he was on loan from Barca, no?
Yes.
He was.
The same thing with Brahim Diaz.
But we had a clause.
Option?
I believe we had an option to buy him, and it was. I think it was a bit too expensive for Milan at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But I remember, contrary to the problem Milan had over the past 5 years, which is no right-sided good players, Milan had the opposite problem. On the right there was Souza, and on the left there was no one. And Deulofeu was the first one that had come in on the left.
Very true.
Like, he is worthy.
That's true.
But unfortunately, the Spanish teams, Allah, they're the capitalistic scumbag.
And apparently, as well with Tarabt, the first manager who had taken him to QPR, I don't know who it was Warnock? I can't remember.
Or Harry Redknapp.
Harry Redknapp, I think so. He had scouted him in a game. He was like doing these crazy dribbles in his own half, like, but then he'd lose the ball and the other team would score. And the manager, if it was Redknapp, I don't know, he asked the guy, like, who the hell is that? He's like, don't even touch that guy. He will cost you so many games. Like, he's like, no, I want him. We're going to play him farther up. Like, we don't want him in our half ever. He can do whatever he wants. If he loses the game, if he loses the ball in the first game, and see the goal, I'll keep playing him. And eventually he got them promoted.
But then apparently he went to the players and he told him, if you pass to Tarap in our half, you will get a £50 fine.
He said
in an interview. So, like, don't give him the fucking ball in our half. Because you are gonna get fined. Because the fuck, I shouldn't play with the ball.
I think.
But up front, he'll do wonders.
I think it might have been Warnock. I think you might be
it
right. Might
it's sure. Someone who looks like Redknapp. I don't think it's Redknapp.
They're definitely red in the face.
They're the two outspoken fucking English managers. Oh,
Kevin Constant.
Ooh, the selfie.
You don't remember
fucking
Constant?
Hair like this.
Yes, bro.
Man, man. Recently, I saw a photo of him. Like, he was really weird.
Listen, probably what Jake posted on our stories recently.
Without a t-shirt. This one. I saw a photo. This photo went viral recently. Kevin Constant,
Constantly shit.
There was no one else better than him.
It was versatile. Him and Irby Emanuelsson were quite.
Emanuelsson was great.
I liked Emanuelsson. Compared
to what
towards the last 2 years,
it
was a disaster. But
Emanuelsson.
He was. Whether we're playing three at the back with a wing back, or they were playing four at the back with a left back.
Yeah.
Or whether they were playing him
plugged
CDM.
Many holes. He was
a yeah, so holes. And Emanuelsson was in the like in the last of the Allegri years. No, there was Zmin Nocerino, and there was Emanuelsson.
Lalla Nocerino. Nocerino love him, Madonna.
Yeah, a bit of both.
I adore Nocerino.
He was one of those that was Zlatan elevated.
Yes,
he had a hat trick in one of those games, bro. Him and Boateng have two of the most iconic hat-tricks in Milan history.
Of Lecce, boy.
Boateng against Lecce, then Yepes got the winner, bro. Mario
Yepes.
Mario Yepes. Aslanjli, my pinjuho. Beautiful fucking human being.
Oh, in Colombia, he's adored, huh?
Of course, Yepes. But who was he before Milan?
Botafogo or something like that.
No, that was in Italy, man.
Uh-huh.
I think Chievo.
Maybe. Let's go to it quickly. In the meantime, I will leave with Juraj Kučka.
Kučka, he looks like a bouncer at a club, ostia. He's another one, ostia. They're fucking rubbish, but they have these, ostia, they are right, ostia. He have potential. He's gonna do things. But he did fucking nothing.
Kuska.
Which was your PC check?
Yes, totally Chievo.
Chievo?
Nice.
See, yeah.
You're not
going to
know these guys.
Kuska. Yeah, what's your... K-U-C-K-A. Serbian.
I think he's...
Slovakian.
Something like that. I remember he had a very direct, like, powerful shot. But you'd never know where it's going. A bow and arrow, but he could send it to the stands. Or
I enjoyed him as a player at the time.
I liked him, bro. I like that. Balls,
I never did anything fantastic. There really are no merits.
I think he was in the Supercoppa squad though with Montella. Mm. He won. He beat Juventus in the Supercoppa.
Montella was the first shine. Yeah,
La Padula. Up front, I remember.
He was a fucking that guy who got La Padula. Empoli
top scorer.
Exactly. Serie B. Everyone was saying he's gonna be the next big thing. Mm. Trash.
It was a character, Emma. I remember one of my favorite strikers. So firstly, one of my favorite players in Milan history is Pato. I think Pato was unbelievable
at his prime,
and it almost. Part of the reason I romanticize him is that he never fucking got the Ballon d'Or. He never got to that next level. It's almost like that movie that you've been waiting for the sequel, but it never came. I kind of like that mystery of how good could he have been. But to me, one of my favorite strikers in Milan history was Marco Borriello, bro.
Borriello. He would score only. Borriello. He would hardly ever score, but when he did, it was
half volleys only. And I remember I really liked a player that was with Roma, and then he had gone to Juve. Mirko Vucinic. He was a fucking player, Madonna.
Vucinic pastas.
He was like the Eastern European Van Persie. I found, man.
Vucinic was amazing.
Also another one I enjoyed a lot, Pazzinia.
Yes,
Pazzinia. But that was rubbish, Madonna.
He scored a few, man. He scored. There was one he had pulled up injured and he still scored, and then he was limping away in celebration. It was pretty cool. I mean, back then it was purely vibes. No one was at. We were so far away from being a team that could compete. Enjoy the characters.
Lack of expectation was almost enjoyable.
It's still waiting. Yeah. Huntelaar was.
Huntelaar, Jan Huntelaar.
But he does nothing, and then he scored that like volley from outside the box and the goal against who it was just out of nowhere. Lala class, what are you doing? I mean, not seeing it with 7-8 games. It's just nowhere to be seen.
Literally. I became a Milan fan during the Banter era. I was a Real Madrid fan. I remember I was in Scotland and I had stopped watching Real Madrid because I was working 60-70 hours a week. And then when I got back and I hadn't seen Jake for a year, so we started watching Milan together during the Banter era, and I fucking enjoyed the suffering, man. And I fucking enjoyed the drive.
No chance to not become a Milan fan.
No.
Because I would always
brainwash
the arguments like, oh, who are we gonna watch, Real or Milan? Was always Milan on the TV, always.
Since we were kids,
I think that comes
had to be.
If you were the older
7 and 9 years old, and it would always be, no, let's watch Milan. Fuck it, let's watch Milan.
You're there for the trophies.
When you're a kid, it's fine. You like superheroes, you like Real Madrid.
Yes, exactly.
When you're an adult, man, give me AC Milan Banterira, give me the red and black strip.
Agreed, Balotelli
Punta.
Agreed.
The next one is one of my personal favorites, Philippe Mexès.
Topo.
There's one moment that we can all agree on. There were two
Puskas nominees, one against Anderlecht, one in a friendly against.
I remember the Anderlecht.
Man.
Inter Real Madrid, one of them, I think. I can't remember. It was
a complete back volley.
Yes, against Anderlecht.
And then there was one which was on the side.
I think that was a friendly, actually. But it was such a good goal.
Sure, I don't remember that.
Mexès, Salazobu, he was good. I still love him.
He was
with Roma, he was great as well.
Yes, Mexès
was good all around. He was the reason Roma had a transfer ban in 2005.
Really?
Because they had brought him in from, help me out, Auxerre.
And
apparently there was some irregularity with his signing, and Spalletti was forced to play Mexès eventually because they couldn't bring anyone else in. They brought him in, so he was sorted, this guy. Funnily enough, in 2011, this is the contrast in seasons between Milan's 2011 and Milan's 2012. Nesta and Thiago Silva with Mexès third choice in 2011. In 2012, the starters were Mexès and Zapata.
Zapata was good too before he joined us.
Inconsistent. He was good with Udinese, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
He was good too, Zapata. He was solid. And then with us, a bit rubbish, yes. Mm-hmm. Colombian goal.
Scored that goal against Inter. The last minute one.
Ah,
the last second one at the death. It was in- incredible.
I love it.
Mexes is a player I always enjoyed as well.
There was a time when Bonera was the best player Milan had.
He had a season where he was unplayable. Ahba Madonna, when he became Lord Bonera. You remember the old Lord
Bonera?
I used to love him, Bonera. I remember Abbiati had one season. He was like 37 years old. Abbiati was just... No, Abbiati, the keeper, bro. Yeah. Where he was always a bit of a meme, like from Dida, we went to Abbiati, seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there was one season when he was like 37, where he was unbelievable, bro.
Yeah.
Abbiati, I remember, bro. Abbiati, we used to love him because FIFA 94 pace. He was that guy up and down, Primavera. We used to love Abbiati. And then once my dad, you're watching a game with my dad goes, who's this fucking blonde right back? We're like, Abbiati, he's really good. He's like, he's not good, bro. He's fucking shit. I'm like, no, bro. Abbiati is literally, he's amazing. He's like, he's fucking shit. From then on, Abbiati never had another good game.
Straight to good. Straight to good.
Ever. My dad fucked Abbiati up totally.
And to tell you,
I hate your dad. I don't know.
He's a bastard.
The exchange was minute 23.
Minute 23, yeah.
Abbiati.
My job, like a fucking 5 year old trying broccoli.
Remove him.
I think we can all agree that Bonaventura was the best.
Yes. Absolutely. Carried Milan for six years.
You know, if you remember correctly, let me jog your memory a little bit. He only joined because the Biabiani deal fell through.
Biabiani
had posed with the Milan scarf looking
Parma.
Really cute.
Parma to Inter.
Biggest
flop in Inter transfer. One of the biggest flops in Inter transfer.
Left wing, right wing.
96 pace on FIFA. Yeah. I'm looking like a real casual over here. Figuring out the pace, like my 96.
Yeah, the 4-star week for FIFA 97.
You're literally an esports commentator.
Yes.
So
you do that.
Seven million
euros for Jack de Quarry, man. That's a great
former
bit
Atalanta,
of business.
Man.
And then Atalanta, that that devastating picture at the end where he's in the middle of San Siro, it's empty and he's crying on the pitch. And now to think that he's doing actually pretty decently at Fiorentina,
sure,
he got his national team
great.
Call up and he scored against Malta, the fucker.
No, we would have won that game if it didn't score.
So we got Bonaventura for 7 million and we got Andrea Bertolacci for 21.
that to me was the lowest point.
Yes, the Bertolacci.
It's like, okay, we have money to invest. Yes, we're getting Bertolacci for 20 million.
That's when you think, what's Galliani doing? Il Condor, what's he doing?
But Galliani, there was a long period of time where I'm like, this week he'll die, Galliani.
Let's hope
you
so.
You look at him. You like Star Wars?
Please.
Darth Sidious, bro.
Galliani was Hazinas, yeah. And that Bertolacci was rubbish. Incredible. That season there were two really horrible signings. There was Bertolacci and there was someone else. But Bertolacci was just fucking hopeless, man. From beginning to end. It's Alia with Roma, I was pretty decent. Madonna, man, with us, nothing. Not even.
But 21 million is one of the highest amounts Milan have ever spent
on
a footballer.
It was now massive.
If we spent 40 million on Xerxes, it would be a record-breaking transfer, man. Milan haven't spent a la tens of millions on footballers.
Bertolacci, fuck my life.
Six goals and 8 assists. With Genoa the season before, we splashed 21 million on him. I'll never understand it. Bertolacci. Can you imagine?
My biggest.
Listen, Milan and Genoa, they're like to stay sucking each other's dicks.
We were 69 for Piontek, I remember.
Piontek was fucking rubbish.
Piontek. For 5 games, I believed Lipa. We found him.
Yes,
we found him.
We have a striker for 10 years.
Exactly.
Agreed.
And
it was just made like look like an amateur.
It's like, and it's done. Like that's it. I turned Koulibaly inside out, and now that's it.
Piontek started out really well. Yeah.
He is Piontek. The best way I can describe him is a semi. He's a semi-erection.
That's
like.
True.
He's never a full fucking. You know.
Yeah, Mali, I think he was kind of your first fuck.
I don't hate that.
He did make you come real quick, but forget it, eh?
I don't hate that. I like that. Aha. Piontek was the first fuck.
the first one. It came and just, yeah, he said, lala, we have faith in this guy. Yeah, this bitch is going to take me all the way for a long time.
Exactly. You know, you try your second position.
Then you stay messaging, work, and she doesn't fucking reply. Hey, what's happening here?
And then she's with an older dude.
What can you do with a cucumber? Exactly. Just you're not gonna get any relief.
You can't compete.
You won't get any relief.
Absolutely. Piontek is your first fuck. Fernando Torres.
Nothing.
I wasn't when the news came out that Milan were signing Torres. I think I told you this.
You were showing me videos.
I was in my room watching videos, and you came and you're like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm watching Torres videos, bro. I'm so gassed. This guy can fucking come back to life with us." And you're like, "Bro, you're like, you know how it's been." And I'm like, "No, this is different." You're like, "You know how it's been." And then I watched them, and yes,
you were watching videos of him in his second season at Liverpool. He was insane.
He was on par with Suarez back then.
He was incredible. Now he's Jack nowadays, and so is Mesut Ozil.
Yes,
they're all fucking huge.
To think that during their professional career they were holding back—that's crazy. Matri,
he always gave me a false sense of security, because at Juve, I remember, Matri was the shit for two seasons. Everyone adored Matri.
But he was with us before.
He was.
After, I think. I'm quite sure it was after.
After Juve, I think. Let me confirm that. Let's do two more. We've got Keisuke Honda, who was at Milan between 2014 and 2017, and I don't think played as a 10 a single time. He was on the wing.
The right wing.
He was like a wet dreamy. So it's like you when it comes on, you start saying, "Lala, shit's gonna happen now," and it just never did.
Like one of those international signings, no? Kind of like a non-effective Pulisic, when you just sign someone that is the best market within a region.
But he was ridiculously good. You think they did it financially to get with the agents?
I think his marketability was a massive part of
it. You think they did Milan team noodles?
I would hope so.
It's Milan themed noodles or like sushi?
Probably. I'm sure they did a night.
Ke sushi Honda?
You heard it here first. Ke sushi Honda.
I remember he did nothing during his entire stay at Milan. As his contract was running out, he scored an incredible free kick. Yes. I think on his last game. Classic.
Mm-hmm. Classic Milan.
Nigel De Jong.
To me, Nigel De Jong.
Topo.
Nigel De Jong and, we mentioned him earlier, Van Bommel were those two that entered the team towards the latter stages of their career, but to me it's like they've been there forever. They give you, they're professionals that give you 100%. With De Jong, he had replied to your tweet once, man.
Really?
I have a soft spot for him. He's a good guy, I have a soft spot for De Jong.
He was a crusher.
Yes, he was a killer. 2010 World Cup final, if it were any other occasion, he would have been sent off in the opening 4 minutes.
The kick,
Xabi Alonso on the chest.
It was really cool. He did the karate kick and then he just decided to top it himself over as well. It was really obvious.
It was a 50-50.
It was really good.
It was like a Bruce Lee fucking movie.
Nigel. It was good.
I believe so. He was at City before the whole financial takeover,
I believe, or in the early stages. I think at the early stages, City's first big signing was Robinho,
Before.
And Robinho thought he was going to Manchester United. He thought he was going to Manchester United. He's like, why are they giving me a blue kit?
And
they're like,
he's a dumb rapist.
Robinho.
Yeah, and then we've got Michael Essien, who the only positive memory I have is his face after he got sent off that one time. Do you remember? He was so shocked. He was like, No, it wasn't against Juve. Essien, Milan, I can't remember. Funny. That's how I Google.
He was rubbish as well.
Immediately.
He couldn't believe it.
Honda as well.
He couldn't believe it. He has no idea what he's done wrong.
With Chelsea, I think he was like the best, one of the best holding midfielders in the game at the time.
Yes, bro. When Chelsea won the Champions League, he was their guy in the midfield. Just like you're saying, N'Golo Kante a couple of years later. And Mourinho refers to him as his favorite, like one of his favorite players he's ever coached. He took him to Real Madrid, and then like he took him to Africa to meet his family. Like, what do you mean, obviously? Mourinho went to Africa.
Shall we go on to the next part?
Let's.
Okay. Yeah, the roasting.
As you know, the end of your podcast, you do this thing on Bite to Bacon where you start roasting guests. And Jake and I would be watching and we can't help but feel a bit sorry for your guests. Like, if only they can get a fucking taste of what they're giving right now.
So we're here to avenge them.
Yes.
So basically, these are the questions that don't need answering. So to speak,
exactly.
Rhetorical questions. All right.
You want to start, bro?
Sure, I'll start. Max, you went viral on TikTok for calling Xbox gamers gay and highlighting PlayStation players as masculine and cool.
Yeah.
So tell us, when did you start playing Xbox?
I never said or insinuated anything about them being gay.
Oh yeah, but you were putting something in your ass and going.
anus has no sexual orientation.
Yes, that's true. The prostate lives within all of us.
If you like to put stuff up your ass, it's totally fine.
Absolutely.
And considering by how this mic smells, I'm assuming.
He bites back. If any of you have tried ass stuff for the first time after listening to this podcast, hit us up and tell us how it went. Max, you have collaborated with local talent Gianni, I have no idea what his second name is, where you spotlighted a song he wrote about the boobs of an attractive fitness influencer, Denise.
Yes.
Right? Did you genuinely find his song funny? And if so, how old were you when your mom dropped you on your head?
I think she did drop me on my head. It's a very plausible question, to be honest.
That song goes on for a while.
It was a long one, it's true. It was a full-on song that he wrote, it's true. But it's a good one. You need to steal some minutes here and there, you know?
And it's clout.
Johnny
at someone else's expense. As we mentioned earlier, you formed part of a metal band called Abysmal Torment. When you decided to name the band, why did you decide to name it after the words that women describe you in bed?
Precisely that. I said, fuck, I'm not gonna try to get with any women for the next 10, 15 years of my life. I went through the metal phase, long hair and everything, so... You have to stick the part. I mean, when we do something, the Vassallos, we fucking stick it through, you know? I ain't fucking for a long time, guys. That was the mission objective.
This is the last one, Max. You have three main passions in life: grilled sandwiches, esports, and heavy metal. How many ass pimples do you have?
Funnily enough, my ass is really smooth. My balls, on the other hand, that's a story.
Oh yeah, that's just a hard-working individual. You know, you do this, you do that, you have to have rough balls.
It needs to be there and then with all the scratching and the chafing, shit happens.
Exactly. We're just kidding, of course, Max, you're at 10. 10 pounds. 10 cokes a day. 10%
what a day?
Cokes.
Cokes,
yeah.
Lost, yeah. 10 Coca-Cola, so. 10.
Yes.
Not like Ashley. But this brings us, bro, we have a little gift for you. Brother,
what'd you do? That's the amazing, this is fucking tough, Bastia. You made me really pretty, dude. See you guys, beautiful shit.
The resemblance is uncanny. It's quite an easy face to draw.
You couldn't continue it because it'll be too big.
That's it.
Very good. I literally want to frame this and put it up on my wall somewhere. I'll remove my daughter's face. I put myself instead.
But that's the least we can do. Obviously, thank you so much for you agreeing to come on and to share this moment with us. It's very special for us. So thank you, brother. That's the least we can do.
It's beautiful. Thank you for having me. It's
it was a pleasure. I enjoyed it. I haven't had a good football banter in a very long time. And just, yeah, it's really obvious you guys know what you're talking about. So keep it up. Good shit. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, brother. We've been Serie A Spotlight, guys. Sandmax 26, 24. Right? 24. Malasta.
If I'm listening, I'm eating a lot, so I might evolve to 26.
So it'll be 48.
It might be so, yes. Now we'll see.
Sandmax 24, check out this content, guys. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
Max,
thank you.
This has been a pleasure.
Same here. Peace out.